Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a house. And if I had $1 million.
Hello, everybody. It's Saxon Jack. I'm Tom Oshie. It's Jay-Z back at the board after a little bout with the either a cold or the flu, which has been going around. We also have Stephanie Koenig back from a worldwide trip to, well, I guess Peru isn't worldwide, but it's fairly far away.
So at least one place in the world.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of south, but, you know, SP Futures, this is like a movie. Yesterday we were here and we came all the way back to finish up. Today we're down again, 36 spook points, down 334 down points, down 151 NASDAQ points. We had Apple down, it's like about down about $14, but it's down about 9% after they came out and said that their revenue was going to be like $84 million, instead of not $89 or $90. So it was a pretty reasonable, like almost a 10% difference. Actually, the original was $89 to $93, and now they're saying will be about $84. So down as much as 8 or 10%. The revenue mostly from China, and I don't. how many people have to say before? Steph, I promised I wasn't going to go into a political rant here, but for God's sake, I listened to our POTUS yesterday, POTUS being President of the United States, talk about how much better we're doing than China. Don't our people sell stuff to China? Isn't how do you think the soybean guys that are going broke, are they happy that we're doing better? Is this a relative game?
No, I mean, I think the Apple is a prime example of his lack of either understanding, knowledge, or willingness to admit to the facts. I mean, Apple has obviously a huge part of their market and their sales in China, and, you know, the fact that that China's slowing down due to these trade negotiations is causing us to slow down, too, and I think that's even better represented in the soybean market, but unfortunately the soybean market just doesn't have as much visibility as some of these huge companies that we own, well, meaning are United States companies. So I feel bad because, as we were talked about, I think last time I was here, which was a while ago, soybean farmers are in a real big pickle, and they're not the only farmers in a big pickle. They just happen to probably be the farmers in the worst pickle at the moment.
Right, and because I think the Chinese like soybeans more than they do corn.
They do. It's like, I think, their major staple after rice. So, and they have come to rely on the United States production heavily in order to support their people. They've got a lot of land erosion and a lot of other issues that are causing some of their farming to not, they have a huge population, so yeah, to support the population is tough.
And they yank a bunch of people off the land, and they're in the cities, and so yep. It's, you know, feeding 1 billion people is a real number.
Exactly.
And, this whole concept that if I'm in a gunfight and you shoot me twice and I shoot you three times, it's somehow I won.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
we're both still dead.
Yeah, we're both still dead. but I mean, this is not a real estate deal. This is when China has some issues with their trade stuff. We probably shouldn't have let them in the World Trade Organization until they did promise to do some stuff at home. I mean, I'm not people listen to this all the time. No, I'm not a China appeaser by any sort. But this whole idea that the concept of relative value. We're talking about a guy who who clearly doesn't care or doesn't know that having soybean sales now doesn't fix anything.
Right.
It doesn't do the people from 2 years ago with the stuff still in the bins. They're going bankrupt, aren't coming back. And there's no government program to keep them on their farm for a year or two, and which is essentially a, I'm going to be honest, Steph. I mean, I'm getting grumpy, I know. But I tell you what, I'm so pissed off at these little events that hurt people. Yep. I mean, I'm pissed off at the Fed not knowing what was coming in 2008 because they refused to look. And the upshot of it was, you know, how many million people in this country lost a huge chunk, if not all, of their equity and lost their house, and there was never, even though we supposedly had programs to keep them in their house, I don't know of a soul that ever got one of those programs. If you don't have money, you ended up out. And then, of course, the Fed bailed the banks out, not the people. Now we're doing the same thing. We're sort of running a trade war on the backs of farmers, and it appears Apple, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, and federal government employees, you know, it may not be a federal trade war, but it's an internal political war that they're fighting on the backs of federal employees who are not the best paid individuals in our society to begin with, and a lot of them, you know, are raising families, have chosen service for various, you know, either whether it's great reasons or whether it's secure reasons, but either way, this shutdown, government shutdown, is killing people.
Well, I might have to actually push back a little on that because, you know, in my industry, where there used to be, you know, thousands of people on the trading floor, and all of a sudden there are none. And we essentially gave the business to three or four firms, and, you know, it's been an abomination for 20 years. And nobody gave a bleep about any of those people getting a paycheck. And yet these guys essentially are going to get their paycheck delayed. They're going to get paid. And the people that are actually off are going to end up with a paid vacation. You know, so I'm saying, yes, nobody wants to miss a paycheck, especially because I talk more than most people about how many people are living paycheck to paycheck. So I get it. But there's only so – I'm saying I know so many people that were tossed out of jobs or their whole industry disappeared and are never going to get another paycheck there. The idea of somebody's being delayed 3 weeks, I can only get so upset about it. You know what I'm saying? Now, if it's 8 weeks, you know, yeah, I suppose. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's only enough sniveling you can do for 2 weeks late.
No, I get your point. However, you know, I know my sister's family that is living paycheck to paycheck because my sister's husband is starting a new company.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they had to lay off their nanny. They had to lay off their cleaning lady. They've had to lay off, you know, all of their support staff because they don't know when they're going to get paid again,
right,
and they don't have enough liquidity.
Well, it's part of our theme that a significant part of this country is in a recession, and it has been for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the numbers, especially here in Chicago, you know, I think it's black families in the United States are doing, or in Chicago specifically, are doing worse now than they were in 2008. And, you know, that's a huge segment of a population that's just
never come
back. I'll expand
it. I'm
going to
say any family that's paying their own health insurance is doing worse than they were in 2008.
You are right.
Unless the person gets some huge, you know, if he's making $1 billion a year as a plumber, which I doubt.
Well, hey.
You know, I mean, but not that plumbers aren't doing well, but no, I mean, it is very uneven, and we refuse to look. But I'm saying, this in a month, this will all be over. I mean, if somebody
we hope so.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a banker, I easily give your brother-in-law a loan because I know he's going to get paid.
Right. But, I mean, to your point about industry shrinking, I mean, well, we've had a concept basically since, was it Reagan that got rid of it? Maybe it was Clinton who got rid of the Monopoly Report it's not called that, but the report that talks about the consolidation of industries.
Well, if you look under the TV right now, Bristol-Myers to buy Celgene, $64 billion, yet another.
Exactly.
I'm going to say that President, stop talking for an hour and 15 minutes on stuff you appear to know nothing about. By the time he's done with his first term, there's no coming back from this
consolidation
stuff. Just tell these people no. But the stock was trading $66, and these guys are going to pay $102 a share.
Yep.
I think they're doing that because they're going to raise prices or lower them.
Exactly.
For efficiencies?
Efficiencies. Efficiencies means you cut jobs.
You cut jobs and you raise prices.
That's what it means. You know, cut jobs, you raise prices, and that means there's less good paying jobs out in the world.
Steph, here we are once a week. You and I are together. And I'm going to say once a month we talk about yet another combination in the industry, and they're just, and then you have people on air talking about how they have to combine. They have to combine. Why?
To compete with who overseas? Yeah. Who is as big? I mean,
I thought they were from Mars. There's this big company on Mars you got to compete with.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I thought that was Pluto. Didn't they just, NASA just throw a big, huge...
We just bounce Pluto.
We bounce Pluto as a planet, but that doesn't mean that it still doesn't house
it's a
big
rock.
Competitor.
That's right. It could have a big competitor on the other side that we can't see.
Actually, it's a gassy planet, isn't it?
God, whatever it is. But I mean, this is... When we're all said and done, I mean, Carl is absolutely correct. We have, it's 20% of our society. It should be 12.
Right.
And somehow, by making these people combine and by raising prices on everything, is not what's going to do it. And I don't.
So, question, you know, whether you're Democratic or Republican, why is Congress not challenging the president on this? I mean, and I know we've got the Democrats coming in, and so that's going to obviously provide some shakeup. Whether it's good shakeup or bad shakeup, we've yet to see. But, you know, I mean, we had Romney come out and put out a dissertation, basically, last week about supposedly what he's trying to aim to do with his new term. But a lot of it was about really looking at whether our commander-in-chief is driving us in a stable, reliable, forceful direction. You know, that's not undermining our allies, our previous allies. And I know not everyone agrees with the old way of doing things, and I totally accept that we didn't do things completely right. But are we, like, what are we doing to make this better?
We're like the Amazon of politicians. We're blowing stuff up without a direction where we're going.
Right. I mean, I just feel like Republicans are along for the ride. And the ride at the moment is, you know, we're on a boat, we're in the middle of a hurricane, and everyone's just saying, well, just hold on, you know?
Well, I mean, Trump is basically yesterday, I mean, if you listen to his long-winded, why they don't have the gong show for the man, I have no idea. But if you listen to that yesterday, the more you listen, the more the sicker you got.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you start having a commander-in-chief, because part of Romney's treatise was that he's treating allies that have essentially fought with us in many wars and have come with us when you know, it was time to die over around the world. They came with us. You can't treat those people that horribly. I mean, they're your allies. I mean, for God's sake, they're your friends. And Trump's response was that they something about they send a few troops and then they screw us on the tariffs and the money they're paying to send the troops. You're sending people's children to die with you.
Right.
It's not the money you're paying for their three meals while they're overseas. To equate one with the other shows a mindset that has no business in that job. I mean, it just doesn't in my mind.
Well, it clearly has a disregard for life in general, and then has a disregard and a lack of understanding of the actual impact that those countries are doing to their long-term growth. First of all, they're killing their young potential, usually males, killing their future. So it's not just, you're 100% right. It's not just.
I don't know how you put the truth out. The fact that he shakes up a lot of stuff that, you know, people have, that need to be shaken up, you know, that part I get. I mean, yeah, we are kind of too long in Afghanistan. What is the end game there? I'm not.
It's agreed.
At least, bit, you know. But I also know that when you go to places you shouldn't go, you end up staying there for like a real long time. We're still in Korea,
of course.
Unless I checked, and you end up with these stalemates, and it's unfortunate. But you have the world is a clutter with increased population. Incredible diversity in income in a lot of these places, or no income. I mean, whenever you have a place like Sinai, where 45% of your young males from 18 to 40 are without a job, you got a problem. Right?
Yep.
I mean, you've got a problem.
Young,
I mean,
testosterone available without something to do productive is a problem.
Well, I mean, but that means the women don't have a job either, obviously. No. So it's, I mean, there is no economy. You've got something like 60 million people that are kind of moving in the world that don't really have a home. I mean, it's like a lot of people. And somehow, some way, we need to address these things, and we're not going to solve them. I mean, for God's sake, we're not solving them. We're not going to solve it. We have to at least be working on some of these problems in a way that makes some sense. And spending 90% of our time fighting over some, you know, $5 billion, essentially. And then, so you got one guy talking about how many terrorists. Yesterday they were talking about 3,700 terrorists came through the board. Terrorists?
Terrorists, I mean, really?
I mean, come on. I mean, what are we doing?
So, you know, let's talk about immigration, because if we look at Norway, who has taken a huge stance on immigration, brought in a lot of people into what was incredibly, you know, white secular society, they have increased their economy. They've, improved themselves tremendously over the last couple of years. Their economy is booming. Canada's economy is booming. They're taking all of the immigrants that don't come into this country, and they're, you know, really growing their population.
Well, you had to buy your way into Canada for a while.
Yeah. Well, you have to buy your way into the United States, too, in general, you know, with our immigration policies. But, I mean, the countries that are taking in immigrants in an organized, structured manner are just accelerating. And, you know, we, instead of taking the best and the brightest from around the world, which is where we all came from, we are now basically saying, no, if you don't look like us, if you don't, you know, already have some way of belonging to us, we're not even going to consider you. And that is just horrible.
Well, look at the people you have making the decisions.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know.
He's second generation.
What good is it to be in a country club if anybody can get in?
Yeah, that's true. Well, he just created his own country clubs.
I'd have one, no females, no anybody. And of course, there'd be nobody there to play with. What's the point? Plus, my golf is so bad.
Well, maybe we'd come up with some other kind of club. Maybe a softball club.
Softball club. That'd be, yeah. Well, then you got to have girls play softball now. I mean, it's...
I didn't. Yeah, that's true. Well, if you're going to exclude them, then we're going to
have
birds.
Yeah, we can't exclude. You know, besides, why do you want to exclude anybody, for God's sake? Just make it, you know, anyway. But this is affecting business, and it's affecting the market. And I constantly see people every day, just keep your money there. Keep giving me your 1%. This next decade is going to be like the last decade. Don't, you don't have to hedge yourself. Don't have to protect yourself. Don't have to do anything. Don't have to be an active manager. God's sake. I mean, I understand, I will admit that the last 8 or 9 years, I should never have protected anybody anywhere, and I should just have put money in the market and doubled up on it, because I'm pretty good at that. Done repair strategies, doubled up to the upside, and I, in retrospect, that's what I should have done. Mm. Right? And then I also know that, in 1981, I should have just sold calls. I should never have been long, because the market never went anywhere. And the Dow was about 800 and 825. And then in 82, I should have been balls to the wall long in August. I mean, obviously, in retrospect, I'm a spectacular trader. Most people are.
Hey, yeah. You know, if we all knew, the future, we'd be great at history.
And, you know, that's right. And, although we did have Abraham Lincoln? It was, the only way to, influence the future is to make it.
Yep.
Which I think is, but I mean, we've got the problems that are in this country. I mean, we have, for God's sake, Steph, I feel like this whole thing started with China. And I kept saying, how exactly is Apple going to walk the fine line here by us beating up on China and them doing their own bad stuff? We got to make no excuses for them. How are they going to be in the middle there? They're the poster child for the company that makes their stuff over there, sells it here, has a massive margin, pays people over there all the rice they can eat. They do it through subs, so they don't get tagged with the, you know, not paying anybody anything thing.
Right.
And they've been walking this tightrope for how long? And done it exceptionally well and made a bazillion dollars. Okay, and it's now all of a sudden they're caught in this crossfire, but it was fairly obvious that they were going to be caught in this crossfire, because how could they not? So here they are, but the stock was already down, what, 50, 60 bucks before yesterday, and now it's getting clobbered today. Now the question is, at some point here, you know, where is it a buy? They still got all kinds of money. Now, the question is, I mean, I'm going to look at it today for some of my people. I'm not going to make a decision yet, but, you know, is it worth a call spread somewhere? Somewhere here, maybe the answer is yes. But I could see, but here's the difference. I don't necessarily see a market bottom here on the sell-off we've had in the last 8 weeks. I don't necessarily see a market bottom as a time when, well, I think we're going to stop going down at some point here. I don't know that we're going to, but don't count on a V-shaped bottom. They used to call them a bathtub bottom on the floor. Don't.
We're going to end up with more of a W.
Well, no, you know, stock was 160 and now it's 120 and it's 120 for 5 years. You know, where the next 5 years might be a call writing 5 years.
Yep.
You know, it might be. It might not. I mean, it could go right back to 160. I don't see the catalyst for that, though. Do you? I don't.
I think you're 100% right. I mean, you know, my personal strategies, you know, pretty simple, and it's mostly because I don't have a ton of free time to spend on it. But I'm really considering spending some more time on some options because I think it's a time when there's so much unpredictability, and the only way I think to make some profitability in this time is probably going to be exactly that, because I don't think we're going to have a V specifically.
No, I mean, I somehow can't imagine the market flumming. Now you're going to have, but you're going to have this pocketed kind of stuff where you'd love to be long Celgene today. It's up $22 and probably going to go up another 14 because the buy price seems to be still straight in 88 and it looks like the buy price is 102. And, you know, I mean, that's always been a really tough game to try and pick the stocks that are going to be taken over next.
Oh, it's an impossible game. You either need to know something from the inside out, because how are you going to pick out of thousands which ones are going to be the winners and which ones are not?
Well, I mean, I think that if you're going to play that game, though, until these people in Washington wake up, you need to be in the medical area.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, if you could get you're involved in, I mean, any mid-sized hospital, a lot of those aren't public. Any insurance company, it's not huge. I mean, you could end up with we want the pharmacy owning the pharmacy benefit manager owning the insurance company.
Well, yeah, I know.
I mean, that's, you know, talk about insanity.
Talk about too much control. And, like, you know, there's no checks and balances there.
So, hey, how was Peru? Did you architecturally dig, or did you just wander around and take pictures? What did you do?
Architecturally dig. No, they would never allow that. It's a UNESCO protected. So I went to Machu Picchu, which was an amazing experience. Highly recommend if anyone decides they want to go to Machu Picchu. Everyone says,
is that the capital?
Cusco is the capital of Peru.
Okay.
But
see what I know? Nothing.
Well, I should actually say Lima is probably from a... I don't know, actually, structurally. Cusco, in the ancient Inca world, was the capital. I think it's Lima now. But if you do want to go see Machu Picchu, everyone says you fly into Cusco. Cusco's around 12,000 feet. It's actually a little higher than that. Everyone gets altitude sickness because they stay and they sleep at that height, and then they feel horrible for the next couple days. Don't do that. Fly into Cusco. Rent a car. It's not expensive. Meaning, rent a driver to drive you, don't drive yourself, to go down to Machu Picchu Town, which is now what they've called it. They've changed the name. And stay down there for a couple days because it's about 5,000 feet lower and it's a lot easier to acclimate. Besides, it's a small town. It's an interesting place. Go hike around. Go see Machu Picchu for a couple days. It's a pretty amazing place. It really makes you understand how great those people were, the accomplishments that they did, the complex society, the prosperity that they all had before the Spanish showed up was incredible.
Spanish showed up with their germs.
Yep. And Machu Picchu specifically, they cut off, so the Incas basically said, hey, these Spanish are coming in and taking over. We're going to pretty much just cut ties with Machu Picchu. They cut down, closed all the roads. They let the jungle take back over, and they hid it from the Spanish. So it really wasn't discovered, I think, until around 1840, if I remember.
Really? I've actually read some stuff lately, Steph, and I've actually had a couple of listeners maybe sent it in that the old numbers were there were something like 22 million people in Central and Southern America.
Yeah.
And with smallpox and everything else, it got down to like 2 million.
Yep.
And now I've read some of the numbers of people are rethinking those numbers, especially even in the North America, where now the number might have been closer to 50 to 60.
Yeah, they, I mean, in Machu Picchu, the site is only, I think, my percentages are somewhat approximate, but I think is only 30% uncovered. So if you look at that, you could say, and they think that, what was it, 5,000 were living there? So if 30% was uncovered and you got 5,000, there's a lot more people that could have lived there. And they,
well, they're talking about North America, too. That evidently there was some sort of a plague before, yes, before the Spanish got here.
Yes.
Before the white people got here.
There was I believe there was also a El Nino kicked in and they were having a drought.
S&P futures down 36, NASDAQ futures down 140, Dow futures down 341. We've also got a China coming through with some kind of a consumer credit. We've talked on the air. We'll talk about it after the break. Their shadow banking system starting to put pressure on a lot of places overseas as well. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. but I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, that's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello, everyone. Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Arnold. She's Stephanie Coney. She's Jay-Z. Jessica Zaluski on the board. S&P futures down 33. Dow futures down 308. NASDAQ futures down 128. Because Apple taking a 10% hit and they're came out with guidance that wasn't so hot, saying now Goldman's saying they should cut their numbers even further. The revenue numbers were as high as $90 billion. They cut them down to 84. Actually, as high as 93, and they cut them to 84, so it's probably a 7, 8 to 10% revenue, and they're claiming that it has to do with major slowdowns in China. Now, this morning, the headlines are in some places that China's cracking down on some of their person-to-person loans. And we reported 2 weeks ago, Steph, that they're starting to not be able to pay the interest, not the principal yet, on some of the dollar and euro-denominated debt that came out of there. Because, you know, I don't know, I've railed on this time and time again, that when you force people out of the banking system, all you do is cause problems somewhere else, Steph. You can't, you know, it's like silly putty. You squeeze it one place, it pops out somewhere else, as they say. Anyway, over in Europe, we've got the Next on 164, that's 1.5%. Puts you down 42.6%, not doing so bad. Back around down 68, 1.5%. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei down 62 only, that's only 0.3%. Barely over 20,000, 20,014. Shanghai down 93 cents, call that flat, 24.64. Still under 2,500. Hang Seng down 65 points, 25,064. We've got oil, which was up a bunch yesterday. Down 20 cents today, but still hanging in there. Brent up 16 cents. So say that's flat after having a big day up yesterday. Natural gas, $2.99. It's up 3 cents. Steph, do you believe the ride there? $2.72 to $4.50. Now to $2.80 something yesterday, now $2.99 today. RBOB, $1.33. And I've got gold is up $5, $12.89. We got silver down 4 cents, so gold's continuing to run to the upside. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:37. Weather in Chicago today is clear and sunny with a high of 41, low of 26. Phoenix is also looking clear and sunny with a high of 57, low of 32. In basketball, the Bulls lost to the Magic, 112-84. And the 76ers held off the Suns, ending the game 132-127. Blackhawks were off, and the Coyotes lost to the Oilers, 3-1. No accidents to report. Roadways and tollways are clear. Back to you.
So Steph, is your firm, am I getting invited to you guys, skybox on Sunday?
Yeah, right. We don't have any skyboxes, at least to my knowledge. I don't know.
Would you know if they did? Would they let you know?
Yeah, I would know, because I think, you know, the top brass would at least be going or taking clients, and they're not. So, my firm's pretty, you know, there's not a lot of perks that they provide to the executives to provide to clients. So we're pretty straight-laced in that case.
So you weren't into the $2,000 a ticket when the team was lousy?
I will say that my company before it was purchased by Publicis was Boston-based, and they did do some work for the Boston Red Sox, and their name was up on the Green Monster. That was, I think, their big claim to fame, but I think that was an exchange of services. I'm not really sure.
You know, I was talking to my tax man. I was buying him a 2018 Happy New Year drink for 2019. And you can't take tickets off for entertainment.
Nope.
But you can take them off for company outings.
Correct, I think.
Which is so weird, isn't it?
Well, the whole tax law. Did you know, this is something that interesting that I found out over the weekend, that the Trump tax cut is only in place until 2026?
For individuals.
Yes.
For companies forever.
Yes.
That's why middle class was pissed off at it. It was a tax cut that didn't do anybody any good.
Yeah, well, it didn't do anyone any... It may have done their tax planners good because they plan and then they have to replan it a couple of years.
Well, when you look at the amount of money that the corporations pay... And again, I mean, I think that when you say who pays what, I'm one of these guys that likes to see fairness. And I think whatever the rate is, if it's going to be 30%, 28, or whatever the number is, everybody should pay the same amount. You know, the corporation, yep. I think the corporation should pay the same as individual. And if the corporation lobs out a dividend that people have to pay taxes on, the corporation should get a credit for stuff the individual pays. I mean, it should add up to, pick a number, 30%.
That's an interesting concept.
Well, because why should, when you look at some of these companies, and you look at, you know, Warren Buffett, the genius, listen to him, he'll tell you he is. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason why they hold on to all this money is because dividends were double taxed.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And so, I mean, in their mind, they're always going to be able to invest better than you do.
Yep.
So the idea, why do you pay? I mean, this was I was in grad school, so I wasn't even in grad school. The formula for should you pay a dividend is if the rate of return that you're going to make keeping it in place is higher than the rate of return the average investor can get, then you invest. If not, if you can't find something to do with it, you give it to somebody else, let them do it. And the idea that you pay $100 a share for stock trade in 60, when you can pay somebody a dividend and let them buy it at 60 is unconscionable to me. But that's what people do. But the idea is, if you put taxes into the formula, the corporation had to pay 35%, and if you sent somebody a dividend, he had to pay 35%.
Yep.
Right? So you're double taxing it. So if you do the math, you're always more, you know, better off keeping it there. That's why Apple has $90 bazillion. That's why, you know, what's his name? Warren Buffett has never paid a dividend. That's why. But if you evened up the tax law, they wouldn't have that excuse. You could say to Warren, hey, Warren, you got $40 billion here for how many years? You haven't used it. Obviously, there isn't a spot. Hey, why don't you free up five of it and sprinkle the infield? And he's going to say, well, because you got to pay taxes twice. Well, if you get rid of that excuse, maybe, I mean, all this money that is being spent on stock buybacks, it should just be a dividend if the tax law is even.
No, your argument makes 100% sense.
Which means that, I mean, it was made sense, though, in 1974 when I was studying taxes. And here we are, 2019, and it's still screwed up, right?
Well,
it's a little better, but...
You can run for office.
Yeah. What office would that be?
Oh, I don't know.
Do we still have dog catchers? I mean, plus I wouldn't run around and catch dogs. I mean, that's a bad day. That's a bad do.
I don't know. I don't think that they only catch dogs. I think they catch raccoons and all sorts of other things too.
Well, that's the truth. The alligators people let out. There's snakes that people have. It's
exactly.
It's a
coyotes in the park.
So, if you were, as you are, planning your investment year, right now, if let's put it this way, Steph, you've obviously been in various businesses around the financial industry and have worked on the trading floor. Somebody, all of a sudden, a check comes in the mail. Your secret admirer just croaked, left you $2 million. What do you do with it?
Wow. I don't know. I think at the moment...
Wait, do you have a secret admirer that's got $2 million?
Not that I'm aware of. That was the part I was surprised about.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think at this point, I mean, I don't see the market making any huge swings upward. I think, as I said before, we're in kind of a period when we're going to have a little bit of, a lot of back and forth. And as you pointed out, certain individual stocks will do well, but then you know, it's very hard to predict those. So I'm kind of in more of a hold and protect mode. And that's why I mentioned earlier today that I think it's a time to probably start investing more in some options, because I don't know how else at this point to protect what I've already got and to try and make any significant profits above interest at this point.
Well, it's a little bit of an issue because, I mean, obviously I do this for a living, and I've been, for a lot of my people, one of the reasons why I do the protected index program for people, and I use, you know, a bunch of different indices. When I say a bunch of different indices, I mean there's probably 10 or 12 stuff that were up that will.
Yep.
There's not a lot of liquidity. I mean, if somebody were to drop me a portfolio, and hopefully they do, that has, you know, 15 stocks that they have in there that they all want to protect, there's, you know, it better be top 40 stocks, because getting the execution in some of the other ones, just doing a regular roll, a 20 lot roll every month, you know, it can be a challenge in some of this stuff. You know, because the option markets are nowhere near as good as they were 15 years ago. Because we have two or three players. They, you know, all of a sudden if a stock starts moving around, they don't make markets. The SEC seems to think it's okay. Is there ever collectively a bigger bunch of buffoons in the last 30 years in the SEC? I'm not, individually, I'm sure they're very nice people, but collectively, the idea that you would have, you know, black holes and people, preferencing order flow and kickbacks and things like that. How would you design a system like that? I mean, do they even know what they've done?
I don't know, but it's like back to the mob world with payoffs, and I mean that's the only way I could kind of equate it. It's insane. We had a very transparent, very straightforward, very like honest and open marketplace for a long time. Most of the time, I was actively participating, and then they just slowly started degrading it, and it is now just a, you know, can't say the word, but it is a mess. So I'm hoping that we get some reforms in that area. And I thought,
is there any chance of that? Any chance of that whatsoever? That any more people will be allowed in to make markets or anything like that? Any competition?
Well, the thing is that I think, you know, we've got to watch profits decline in order, and public confidence decline in order to, I think, get any real change there. It's going to
Let's follow that up when we come back. SP Futures down 32. NASDAQ Futures down 132. Dow Futures down 306. Come back. We should have Mr. Fari Hamzy. He'll be interesting this morning with these Apple numbers. I've got Apple trading, where is it? It's down 1303, 144. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomas. She's Stephanie Koenig. She's JZ on the board. S&P futures still down 32. Dow futures down 306. NASDAQ futures down 132. Notables in here. Well, Celgene is up $12 because it's being taken over by Bristol Myers. But we have Apple down 1270. We've got Boeing down 570. Caterpillar down 240. So we're taking a chunk of every Dow stock here. Goldman Sachs down another $2. So Steph, I did a little looking on break. Apple is down to 5 billion shares outstanding. They had as much as 6.5 billion out. They've basically bought 4.5% a year. They had 5.5 billion outstanding in 2015, 5.25 in 2016. So essentially buying 250 million shares a year they have been buying. So somewhere between the stock topped out at 233 and the current price of 145, ouch, that'll leave a mark. That's $88 down times 5 billion. Wow, $440 billion. That's a real number.
It is a real number. All I can say, though, is hey, you know, at least their buyback is no better than our buying of the shares.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but that's the truth usually all the time.
I know it is.
And, you know, but the weird part is now the board of directors that bought 250 million shares at 198, are they happy with that buy?
Well, I think this goes back to the same, you know, perspective we all have. Am I happy that I bought, Visa at whatever higher price than when I originally got in and bought a whole bunch? No, but I made a decision at a particular time. So that's why I say, hey, you know, good thing is they're just people too.
Well, now, my commonsensical friend, explain to me where I'm wrong with this. Whenever I hear somebody, when you have extra cash, okay, we were talking about before the break a little bit, you can either, you can just keep it, basically stuff it in the mattress. Well, for a while, you could keep it in Europe and not pay tax on it if you lied on you. Let's put it this way. You looked at the gimmicks and the tax returns. I'm going to say if you lied. That's just me. No, these people, I really do have my Starbucks profits in Amsterdam. Yeah, but your Starbucks stores are all in London. Yeah, but we got this spot in Amsterdam where that's our profit spot where we somehow have a transfer pricing in Amsterdam. Okay, well, fine. If you believe that stuff, I got a bridge for you, for sale. But anyway, you can either keep it. You can pay it out in dividends, which is the way I would like to see people do it. Problem there is if you've got executives that have bonuses, your bonuses and stock options.
Yep.
The last thing you want to do is pay a dividend because the price goes down. So what you end up doing is buying your stock back. Now, there's all kinds of people that are on TV and radio that will say that buying your stock back is returning money to shareholders. Now, Steph, I'm the one person out on the end of the plank in the boat here. Why does anybody even say that? You're giving money to a guy who doesn't want to be a shareholder anymore. Why is buying your stock back in the open market giving money back to, quote, shareholders?
I don't know. I think their premise is that you're keeping the price of the stock, I don't know, inflated is not the right word, but, you know, at a level that maintains existing shareholders' value.
How's that working out for Apple today?
Yeah, exactly.
So where do you think they paid in 2018 or in 2017 through 18? What do you suppose their average price of that 250 million shares was?
I there's no way to even say, but if you probably look at the average price of the stock over the whole year, that's probably about where they did. I mean, you can't imagine they probably did much better than that.
No, you probably didn't. But I mean, these are reasonable questions. I mean, I'm guessing that Apple still has an amazing core of cash, and at some point here, the stock is going to be a buy just sort of because of the cash.
It is, but does the cash really? I mean, it gives them a lot of leverage and a lot of opportunity to invest and, you know, do R&D and get into new things. But unless they're going to be innovative, unless they're really going to get new products and new things out there, I mean, my personal opinion on Apple is that their market share is declining.
Well, sure it is.
You know, so you can have all the cash in the world you want, but unless you have a good plan on what to do with it, you know.
Well, but if I pay $100 a share for Stephanie Inc., and I know you've got $98 a share salted away in the bank, it's probably an easy buy.
It's an easy buy, except for the fact that you know you're not going to get a dividend. So how are you ever going to get that money
back? Well, I don't know. Maybe I can get on a board and roust you.
Yeah, the only way you can get the money back is if they invest it in good R&D or have a new product or something else that comes out that increases the value of the stock. Because, to your point, they don't give dividends back.
What if I, you know, got on the board and sat there during the whole meeting pounding the table going, dividend, dividend?
Well, first of all, I'd like pay to see that. That would be really interesting to watch. You know,
we could use a little of that, though.
Yeah, we could.
Do you think I'd be a welcome board member?
I think you would be a total outcast. Yes. But that doesn't mean that it wouldn't be a lot of fun, and it doesn't mean that you wouldn't be right.
Would I have to wear a tie? I probably wouldn't wear a tie just to piss everybody off.
I think you wouldn't. I think it would just be, you know, you got to go in as you if you're going to do this. God. You know.
I could do the what's his name look? The T-shirt, Miami Vice look, the T-shirt. And the,
are you going to do the jeans or the black T-shirt? Are you going to go in?
Oh, Tim, who's the guy? The guy's dead. What was his name? The Apple guy.
Now you just lost one. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, yeah. He was kind of the late Miami Vice look, wasn't he?
I don't know about Miami Vice. Well, he wore more of a blazer. Miami Vice was usually like white linen, kind of.
Well, that's because it was in Miami, for God's sake. It was hot.
So because they were up in Seattle,
I'm thinking when he was giving those speeches, it was in an air-conditioned room.
I agree, but that goes back to the more Miami Vice question. You know,
So today, I mean, the bottom line here, we've been kicking this apple around a little bit. Are you interested in one at 144?
So I have never been an Apple. So I own Apple phones. I have I like a lot of their products, but I really think for the last several years, I don't think that they have. Back to my point, I don't think they've got a lot of new things coming out in R&D. I don't see, you know, they were talking about getting in the car industry, which sounds like a bad idea to me. But then again, I wasn't the one that made a whole bunch of money in Apple to begin with. So unless, in my mind, unless Apple is going to come up with some new product, I don't really see how they do anything other than kind of become like Microsoft and sort of plug along, you know?
Well, but Microsoft had, the last few years, they've done very well.
They've done very well, but the reason they did well is because they opened up a new business, and their new business is in cloud, providing cloud services. So that's where their major investment's been.
Well, they've still been able to maintain monopolies way longer than the Milton Friedmans of the world would ever have told you they could.
Of course. Yes, they definitely have, and I think that's because, you know, a lot of our congressional and legal individuals around the world do not understand enough about computers. People who are making decisions don't understand enough about computers and are intimidated enough to not be able to regulate and or feel that they can accurately put regulations in place to address a lot of this new technology.
Well, Steph, how do you open up the subject when you talked about regulators? Let's put your behind in one of those chairs. This is pretty tough antitrust work. Because it almost seems like it's happening. I'll use the term naturally, but I mean, does anybody use Word anymore?
I mean, like Word Perfect?
Yeah. Does anybody use what was the original MapQuest? I mean, it's almost like they're natural vertically integrated places where you really have to try to go elsewhere. And what would happen if you were to send a proposal to somebody in your business world, which you do all the time? What if you sent it in Word Perfect?
Well, at the moment, Word Perfect has created a part of the program that allows people with Word to read it. So they have, in order to remain relevant, they've created.
So you know that, and I don't. But I'm saying you know what I'm talking about. If you don't use, Microsoft, if you don't use Excel. I mean, how do you send somebody a cost thing? If you sent something other than Excel to, your architect or your plumber, he'd say, "What the hell is this?"
Well, if you look at a lot of the students coming up in the world, they're all using Google Docs, which has got its own Excel program, it's got its own Word Perfect equivalent. And
S&P futures down 31, Nasdaq futures down 124, Dow futures only down 294. We're under the 300 mark. Come back this time. We'll have Mr. Fariamzi.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Jay-Z on the board. Stephanie Cohen co-hosting this morning. S&P futures down 3150. Dow down 298. NASDAQ down 127. I've got Apple down 1338, trading 144.54. A solid 88 points below its high of last year. It's only $440 billion. It's a real number. Fari, how are you?
Well, as they said in the episode of Seinfeld, do me a solid. This is a solid one.
Yeah.
And the movie they watched was Prognosis Negative. I think we got a little problems here. We've been talking about that. We've said, watch the first few days of the new money coming in, how it's treated. You know, remember the new cash that comes in from whatever is left of your 201k
yep.
contributions? Well, watch what happens, how the market treats that. So yesterday was kind of funny. Yeah, we came back with a roar. Maybe it was that cash. What are they going to do today? We'll find out.
Well, yesterday, if you're to buy the dipper, you did very, very well yesterday. You picked up. We're about this spot yesterday morning. It came back to being mixed.
Buying a dip works until it doesn't.
Well, that's right. I mean,
you and I know that from being veterans of those wars.
Well, but
so yeah. So that's a huge caveat or disclaimer. Everybody should think about it. And that if you're the index operation, 30-to-1 leverage, there is no knowledge in advance. When does that stop? So.
What do you make
so
of the...
When does it, that movie's over, so...
Well, what do you make, both you and Steph, what do you make of the information flow and the Apple? I mean, yesterday it seemed to me I didn't really see any front-running, especially as the market ran up in the afternoon. I didn't see any front-running of the Apple stuff yet, but the same token, it was already down 60-some points just by hints from all their suppliers. So it seemed like the news was out there, even though it wasn't officially out there, and then yesterday... They quote made it official, but it seems like the market had sniffed out both of it. At least it seems like it to me. What do you guys think?
Well, I'm not the right person to ask that. That's not my area per se. But I think it's for the people who are in that position is large. This should have not been a surprise. It's just maybe the timing was, but not the price action. Look, Apple high was 233.47. We're 90 points below that. Largest market cap at one point. Now is, I guess, third or second. It depends on where Amazon is this morning. But if you sit through that kind of position and you got some research people working for you, this should not be a surprise. They'll be out there looking. They should be seeing things. Or otherwise, you should fire those research guys. The issue, again, was really the timing, not the if. And now the blame game starts. By the way, I think, as I said, it's not my idea. This came on CNBC, or you call it Comedy Central. We all do whatever. Came out today. I think you're going to see that in other pre-warnings, you know, pre-earnings announcements, that they're going to the blame game over it. Everything is going to go China, because everybody is sold on it. Some things are China. Some things are structural. To a great extent, some of the software limitations Apple provided, always being a closed system. They did it with Apple II. Why didn't Apple II take off? Why didn't Macintosh take off? They do these closed systems where they control hardware and software. It's much easier for a person to get out of the box and running. But I think in the long run, you rob the consumer by not allowing the marketplace take hold and provide the best hardware and software combo solutions. And we saw that in Apple II. We saw that in Macintosh. I'm wondering if we're going to see it in iPhone one day. Look, Android, nobody has sold Android. Yeah. Nobody has sold as many Androids. Reason is open. Here's the code. Go. Google did that. And so, Cook needs to wake up to that. That's not trade wars. That's Apple. Apple's philosophy should change. But they've always controlled the hardware and software, thus exacting a huge premium from consumers. And if there was only game in town, like Apple II was, or Macintosh was at the early stages, and the iPhone has been, you just plucked on the money and say thank you to God, you know, God being Jobs and Cook. One day, though, that music will stop. And are we seeing that or not? I don't know. Would the Apple trade in hundreds or 50 one day? I don't know. We'll find out. But if you look at the stock history, this is the same technology pattern they have followed.
Yeah, have they priced themselves out? Because, I mean, one of the things is, you know, with their increased costs, both in the U.S.
I'm sorry, would you speak up a little bit louder?
Sorry. Have they priced themselves out? You know, I mean, they've been raising their prices on products, as you said, that are closed systems. When you can get a phone that you can,
I mean, it's good for premiums. The GPs are through the roof and good for shareholders and retain their earnings. But at some point, the number of people, it won't come back in terms of renewals, you know, the new hardware, or they'll just switch. I know a number of people have switched.
Farhan, I'm looking at this.
How come you're doing Android? I said, well.
Farhan, I'm looking at this graph.
I was never an Apple fan. I want an open system. So.
Well, I won't say graph. You'll tell me it's a chart. I'm looking at this Apple's chart yesterday. There was a. What happened in the market in the last part of the year? And one of the guys from CNBC had written this article regarding what's his name, Jay Powell's offhand comment on October 3rd, where he said, you know, we could be a little, you know, more further away from neutral and have to raise more, you know, more interest rates longer. Mm-hmm. And they traced that back to October 3rd was the high in the market. I'm looking here at the high on Apple was August, or it was October 3rd, the exact same day. Would have traded 233.47 was the tippy top. It was on
correct.
It was on October. Yes. Talk about a coincidence, or maybe not a coincidence.
Well, no, it has to be not a coincidence because it's the largest market cap, so it drives the index.
Well, not anymore.
At least the cap weighted indices like SPX and NDX. So
how much? Both of you. How much when we talked about when the market was going up and the way these cap weighted indexes are put together, that the more you bought into the Qs and the FANGs became a bigger piece of, you know, the Qs, that you would, you know, you end up having to buy more and more. Now all of a sudden people are dumping out of that, and how many billion dollars got tossed out of mutual funds and indexes in the last 8 weeks, for isn't it like, you know, $50-60 billion or some big number? And how much of that relentless sort of selling on closes on some of these days is just people wanting out, and because Apple was the biggest piece of the queue and all the other ones, people are just, you know, how much of it is actually value for Apple? Is it just the market technicalities right now taking these things up and down the way they're being taken up and down?
You're gonna have, just conceptually, the market flow has become so magnified now, the order flow in terms of size, especially near the closes. We have actually a trade called Newman trade, Newman and Seinfeld. It comes at 350 Eastern, 250 Central. And invariably, it's against the prevailing trend, and it's massive. Now I think it starts with either cash or futures, but on a different side. So the market has been short, most likely it's a buy side. If the market has been long, there's a sell side. Day traders are trying to get out, both index or cash. But that also coincides with where ETFs are trying to square away and go home according to their bylaws or prospectus.
So, which I think is, I bet it's very difficult.
Of this is value caused by Apple versus others who are following Apple? I don't know. That's good. That's a very good question.
Well, Steph and I, we came in together, and I was saying, you know, a lot of what you see in portfolios of people is because of the actions of the Fed in the last 10 years, interest rates the way they were, right, and bonds and no cash flow. I mean, I used to, you know, in 2005, I had people in the Protect Index program, and somebody, you know, gave me $1 million, which people would do, you know, really on a monthly basis back then. If I didn't put $400,000 of it to work for a retired couple for 6 months, I didn't care. We were paying them 3.5% here at PTI, for God's sake. It was better than a sharp stick in the eye. Or I'd go get them a 3-month or 6-month T-bill paying 4%. you know, or something. I didn't feel the urge.
But those days are gone.
Well, what I'm saying is what happens is, and I noticed this in...
Now you get it worse.
Well, but I noticed this in 81.
You get it worse now. That's difficult.
But what ends up happening? If somebody comes in...
Did Danny pay you enough?
Well,
you work this hard?
Say your dad was still alive and I can interview him about how the hell did you get a safari, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But if he was still alive, I'd say, in a normal world, I'd say, yes. Okay, Fari Sr., you're 85. I'm thinking it's, let's be 30% in cash. Because we're making 3%, 3.5%. It's not great, but it's better a sharp stick. And let's do some shorter term bonds, but no point in buying a 30 year bond for a guy 85. I mean, come on. I see.
Yeah, exactly. No, I went to a guy out here. He's got 30 years zero coupon, and he's 70 years old.
Somebody came in a couple weeks ago, Ferry. I looked at their portfolio, and it was a lady. She was 80. The broker just put her into a 30-year bond. I said, "You got to be kidding me."
Yeah.
But anyway, what I'm saying is, your dad maybe his in a normal world, to big N for N, capital N,
right.
he's probably 40% stocks. So we correct 15% after a run up. He's not all that pissed off. He's down 15% on 40%. But now, you couldn't be, oh God, the Fed doesn't want you in cash. The Fed doesn't want you in bonds. The Fed is telling you to take higher risk assets, get junk bonds, get stocks. So you've got people that have no business being 100% in the market in a normal world or 100% in the market. They're balls out in. And they've been that way for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now when we get down 20%, they're losing 20% of 100%. But they were nervous about it the whole way. I mean, that's not where they should be. And the Fed has put people in this trick box, and everybody's portfolio, I think, does not match what it ought to be. Then, of course, you don't want to buy any puts because we haven't gone down for 8 years, and why would you buy insurance and nobody reads an accident? And we don't sell any calls because, God, the stocks are going straight up. And all of a sudden, you're left absolutely unhedged at age 80 years old, 100% in stocks, which is not where you want your population, I don't think.
Correct. Yeah, I think the challenge for taking care of the retirees in the next generation or this coming 10 to 20 window, or let's say next generation, next 20 years, it's formidable and unfathomable at this point. I don't think anybody has paid attention to it. A, net saving has gone away. It's very, very low. And B, costs are up, obviously. Third, most of those who have saved enough, from what I just see here, if this is an example point down here in Naples, the predominantly are putting the wrong assets. Either these again trying to seek high yields, but assuming a perfect world, and we're not in a perfect world, never will be.
Well, if this market goes down another, and I'm not predicting it, and I sure as hell don't hope it happens, we got another 20-25%. We got real problems because
if you look at analogs, I still haven't finished it. I over the holidays I worked on them, but I have to admit I was under influence of some Macallan 18s. I think we got about another 3 months to go, and I think what we've seen so far is a preview because the selling near the end speeds up.
I don't see people.
Maybe with bathwater, we have not.
I'm getting a few calls for it, but I haven't. People are convinced this is still the way to go, and they're only down. They made so much the last 8 years. This is still the only way to be. Just be.
I realize that, but I could be conservative in the 3 months period. Okay, but if your analogs work. If I like mean anything, well, there's a time shift we have to do, and we're still in that process. I think we got 3 months, maybe we could have 6 months forward of downdraft. And usually toward the very, very end, just like a very, very top, the price action accelerates, this time to the downside, and the volume explodes. Once we start seeing baby with bathwater coming out of ninth floor windows, okay, that's time to, I would call somebody like Murray or my sister, they're the same tribe. Hey, let's go and buy some. Let's get those shekels out of your mattresses, and let's start buying. We're not there yet.
No, I think. What about Apple? I mean, it seems to be leading us. I mean, they're unusual because they're just having a lot of cash.
It's behemoth. Who knows? And also, remember, it's highly held. Everybody and his brother is an Apple. It is a stock. So I think it's a little bit too early to make that judgment on what the fallout is going to be. This was a little shocker As a matter of fact, we had just gone flat. We were thinking about something to do on the futures, and then 80 handles in one bar, give me a break on the NQ futures. I said, this is, did John Pino say something? And then there was a flash on Wall Street Journal that said, downgrades or writes down.
Well, as soon as they
forward expectation is, I said,
as soon as they stopped trading after the close, all your indices started to go south.
Right. There was a gap there. And then Apple opened, I think 7% down, 7.4
down.
They opened
on 11.
Yeah, I don't know where it is now.
It's down at 12. So it's right about where it opened.
No. Percentage-wise. It's 7.7. Yeah.
I'm saying it opened
I'm good by percentages. I look at percentages.
Okay, but I'm saying...
I'm from old school from Los Angeles, and that was run by really rich Jewish families. They all look at everything percentages-wise. So I look at percentages. It was 7.4, I think. Now it's 7.6, so it's slightly lower.
Yeah.
I remember seeing 144, 145 area, so it's slightly lower. On the NQ futures, the low were put in at 1 a.m. Eastern, about midnight your time. That was the lowest put in.
Where are they down? I got them down 130 now. What was the low?
The low there was, 6188. So that's a 12, another 70 points below here.
Wow.
So it was about 180, approximately, give or take. I mean, I have to do a calc, but I'm just catching it there by my eyes. 12, yeah.
Well, that was a nice buy. That was a nice buy.
70 points lower than this. Okay, so.
Who's a poor guy that had to sell it down there? Ouch.
Yeah. Well, usually with a high leverage like that, you don't sit there very long. I mean, yesterday I had a couple of tough trades, and when you're wrong, at least you know early you're wrong. That's the beauty of futures. It's a guillotine. You know you're wrong. You get out, and you just got to watch your ammo and have enough to fight another battle. But believe me, if you go back a few days back, okay, especially the 1,086 run last Wednesday, not yesterday, week before, everybody in the Trumpkin land here in Southwest Florida was convinced that that was the white knight. That was Trump coming in with a white knight. Everything is going to be hunky dory. All problems are solved.
Well, we've
this
seen
is just the positioning with China and Mexico and so forth. We're going to solve the wall. We're going to solve the trades. I am going to go and buy with both feet. I'd like to see what they have to say now. I'm not always negative, but as you know, last year I was very positive. This year I've been very negative. So we went negative when transportation had a cross, a death cross. And that was a week to 10 days before S&P's peaked. If you go back to the lines, you'll see. When that happens, transportation is a very good discounter of future economy. There is something wrong. And those guys know something we don't know. Plus, I have a number of friends who were with DHL, or with XPO, and so one of them is still a consultant. They see in the transportation market things we don't see yet. When those guys get worried, something is wrong with the overall economy.
Well, you've got UPS is down.
To the other side.
UPS is
so
down
30%.
So then
you've got to start scratching your head and say, what do these guys know we don't know? How do we gear up for that? What should be our attitude? What other shoes could drop? And it's what if. I mean, you know, strategic planning. This is what you think about. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. But you've got to have the thinking hat on saying, these are the scenarios in the past. What do you guys see?
You mean,
frankly, honestly, we've gone a little bit too far, in my opinion. But market is always right. Market knows when it's done.
You're saying that there's a, when you see a UPS
down. Look at this. Let me say this. Look at the chart of SPX into New Year's Eve. Okay, yeah. New Year's Eve, no, I'm sorry, Christmas Eve. Into Christmas Eve, 2, 6, 8, 10, 12. There were 12 red days on SPX Daily into Christmas Eve. We've never seen something like that before, of that magnitude. So you would think we were done. But maybe this was a dead cat bounce we were expecting.
I think
Wednesday before last.
I would say that the rally last week, and, you know, Steph was on the trading floor forever, that... If I had to guess, now this is, you can't trade on this or anything, but if I had to guess, the only rallies I've seen that were that vicious were bear market rallies. Those
exactly.
were that, those
yeah,
were
no, no, there was a, I forgot who put it up. I think Matt Thompson. Matt and Mike are good VIX players. And good guys from the floor. I mean, not floor, ex-floor now, I think. They run their own shop over at, Typhoon, at Typhoon Capital. He did every time the SPX rallied 5% or more, and if you follow the chart, we go a lot lower, and there's another 5%. It supports exactly what you're saying. Secondly, look at the date it happened. Nobody was around. So market on the upside was also thin.
Well, sure.
There was not an orderly market. Let's see if they can do that next week. Except this week also, today and tomorrow, is still a part vacation. Okay? Let's see if they can move a 5% next week.
Yeah.
No matter what is out there. Let's see if Grumpino and Company can do that.
Farley and Steph, when I used to do our seminars, and I'd say, if you're going to want to be a big scalper, like overnight or things like that, the only real way you can do it rationally or safely is to buy the options before you do it. Like, in other words, if you bought
buy the options, then buy the futures.
Well, I'm saying if you bought, for instance, the S&P.
So basically, you're front running yourself.
Well, no, I'll buy the straddle 10 times, so that means I can be bid for what, 4 futures, right? There's 2.5 times. It's been so long since I traded the SPX, but so say we're at 250. I can go to bed and I can put a 240 bid in, right? And have a 260 offer sitting there, and hopefully I wake up and I got hit because I only paid 5 for the straddle. And for probably 15 years, Fari, since I've been giving those seminars, that's never been a good strategy to make money with, except on a couple of days, because we went, a year and a half where we never had a 1% move. Now, last night, how much money could you have made if you had the straddle and you put some ridiculous bid in on the NASDAQ, like 150 points below the market? You'd have gotten hit in a dip. you'd come into work and say, I don't need to work today. Look how much money I just made. I mean, right? Because you're already covered. So you don't care if it goes any lower. So right now, I'm almost thinking, of course, I could kill the strategy if I started doing it. I want to start doing that. I'm going to leave myself bids
last
over.
Last night was over 2% down.
Yeah, I'm saying, but just every night now, if you did this for the last, I'm going to say 4 months, how much money would you have made if you'd have put a 1% below and 1% above bid and offer? There's a couple of nights you would have got hit on both of them.
Yep.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. That's the problem with, and also the range is telling you that too. Look at what a range we're having.
But you can only do that. You can't
the
sleep.
High minus low interest.
But you, there's no way you can.
Huge.
Yeah, but you can't put a bid in.
We're up. The range so far, okay, so far, is 90 handles. Slightly below. Just a tad under 90 handles so far. And they haven't started yet.
Yeah, they haven't started yet.
I say they're the things that the money's in the U.S. The money's in anywhere else. It's here. These players, the activity. And that's what. And when the activity is in there, they're shy. Because you can get caught, so they don't stay. They come in, but watch 8:30 ring comes, and you see some movement. And already we got 90 handles in the futures.
What was
$1,800 for a $3,500 investment? So that's a 50% move already. Think about the math. 90 handles, $20 each. That's $1,800. Margin requirement is $3,500. So that's about 50%. It's almost there.
Well, you know, it's
on a day trade because intraday on the legal. On a legal day, you're coming in, your margin is $3,500. So last night, too, you made 50% if you stayed in.
Well, this is where when people, when you start seeing markets
the
like this.
Average guy don't can't even relate to that.
Well, that's right.
It's a rocket scientist Disneyland.
Well,
okay, that's what I call it. Rocket scientist Disneyland. You got to understand what's going on there. You got to have the willpower to hang out and so forth. Now, last night I didn't. I was up. I was there until about 9 p.m. Then I was too tired because I didn't want to ruin today. I had an interview with you. I said, you know what? We'll come back. We'll fight another battle in the morning.
Well, the world is still telling you that we're trading 2016 markets, but these aren't 2016 markets. It isn't buy and hold and wait for the next day. I mean, now your broker or your money manager better know something other than put it in an ETF and go and play golf. And I see these guys.
The rule was you buy and you hold, and in Trump we trust.
Yeah,
that was a myth. We kept on telling that to people. We were wrong. They were right. Last year, this time, we had a number of cancels. And then we rallied. Remember, right to January 26th. And they wrote back to me and said, see, I told you. We're right. You're wrong. Figure something else to do. So I go to Uber, open the application, try to figure out,
kind of drive some people around here in Southwest Naples. And boom, comes the 1st of February, and there was the first shock. By 3rd week of March, they came back in droves, all with their blood pressure pills and the heightened diabetes and so forth. Like, what the hell was that? I said, boys and girls, that's just the beginning. This is just the beginning of a new show we have. You thought last year was it? No, nothing lasts forever. It just, that was a way to sucker you guys in. I still have people who bought the January 26th. They bought the January 26th.
Wow.
Yeah, they should be in ICU now.
Well, I mean, it's, we're going to just a different phase, Farrah. I mean, we've seen this
before. Well, it has to change. If the game doesn't change, how can Wall Street fleece everybody?
All right, we only have
the
1 minute.
The game has to change. Right, Farrah, because if it goes constant, somebody like you and me will game it.
Okay, but let's you only got 1 minute. Okay, I'm going to have a quick question.
The second one is free.
All right, we've seen these big stocks. People not want to split. You know, the Amazons of the world, they don't want to split. Yeah. They're very comfortable with those stocks being 80-85% institutionally and ETF held.
Right.
Is that part of this problem? Is that going to turn out to be a bad idea?
Probably also, well, I don't know, but I would say this. The answer is we don't know. But look at what happened with Microsoft. Microsoft was one of the first companies that split early and continuously. And the idea was that it would be widely, widely held.
Right.
If a majority of people own it, not everybody's going to jump through the same window out and won't sell it that badly. Well, but the only reason they could support it, because their earnings also dropped a little bit.
We got to go. But let's talk about more about this next week. SP Futures.
You got it. We'll talk next time.
Yeah, we're now only down 22. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Oshie, Stephanie Conan, Jay-Z on the board. We'll have Mr. David Anil in a second. We're trying to bounce here. S&P futures now only down 27. Dow futures only down 258. We've got NASDAQ futures down 111. And Far East said they were down like 180 last night or something, or 200. So we're bouncing, I'm going to say not halfway, but probably 30% of the way back. Oil's rallying here too, which is probably helping some. Oil's trading 47.17, up 60 cents. We're going to one along some XLE. Be nice if it was up a little bit more. We'll do a little bit of put roll today. We'll be happy. DAX down 98.9%. FTSE down 1. So that's back to flat. CAC around down 37.8%. Asia kind of muted here as well. Nikkei down 62.3%, 20,014, so still over 20,000. Shanghai down a whole 90 cents, so not much going on there. Hang Seng only down 65 points. Like I said, we've got oil now rallying up 63 cents, burn up a whole dollar. Spread is now $8 and like 80 cents, so it's expanding back out. Natural gas, wow, buy it at 272, sell it at 454, buy it back at 295. Steph, you wouldn't have to trade ever again if you did that on a 10 a lot. You'd be one witch weighty. You know, one look, one witch weighty. Our Bob, $1.35. We got gold, which was rallying earlier. Not only up $3, it was up $5. The silver down 1 penny, so not much going on there. Gold is at, but at least a 6-year high, a 6-month high, 1287. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports? I think there might be a little sun today. What the hell?
Yeah, there's supposed to be. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Chicago, as Tom just said, we are clear and sunny today with a high of 41 and a low of 26. Phoenix is looking clear and sunny, high 57, low 32. In basketball, the Bulls lost to the Magic, 112-84, and the Suns lost to the 76ers, 132-127. Blackhawks are off, and the Coyotes lost to the Oilers, 3-1. One accident on the Dan Ryan going west before 75th Street. There is stop and go traffic. Everything else running pretty smoothly. Back to you.
So the Bulls officially suck.
Officially,
yeah.
Well, what makes it official versus unofficial?
If you say so.
Yeah. Well, they have sucked for a while.
Yes, but let's change the coach again.
Hey, is that the problem?
Let's do how many times in football? David, are you with us?
I'm here.
Do you think the fan base, especially in football, I'm going to be very jaded here this morning. I haven't been so far, but when you fire a coach, all you do is because your goofy fan base gives the new guy basically they gives you 2 years for him to do something, so you relieve the pressure by dumping a coach. It has nothing to do with whether the new guy is actually a better coach.
Well, it's the same with CEOs, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. So, David, this is
a
while.
Someone has to take responsibility, and sometimes age is a factor, and sometimes, you know, you get a younger guy with spirit or whatever. Sometimes it's quote-unquote bloodlines. I mean, look, who would have expected at the beginning of the year that a new coach, a brand-new coach, but he came, you know, from the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, bloodlines, and, you know, I'm not saying he did it. They traded, got a bunch of free agents or whatever, but I don't think they would have, if John Fox had been coached, they would have never been 12-4. Would not have happened.
It's hard to really dispute that, except for the difference between the team they put on the field last Sunday with the free agent pickups. And last year they probably had 6 to 10 people on IR because they didn't want to, you know, combination of hurt and didn't want to play anymore. The difference in the personnel, David, you and I could have coached the difference.
No question. Yeah, I mean, John Fox would not have won 5 games. You know, maybe he would have won 8 games, maybe 9 games. But I think this guy's made minimum of 2-game difference, maybe even 3.
I really like him. I mean, I'm saying it, but a lot of it is, I'll go back to my gentleman who used to trade for me, unfortunately, is deceased, was a big star at DePaul basketball, Tom Tracy, real nice guy. His brother was athletic director of St. Ignatius for years and years. He just retired. John, another nice guy. And Tom goes to one of these basketball camps. This is years ago. And they get some guy up there with this huge blackboard showing my age and his age. And the guy's scribbling out all these basketball plays, David, stuff. And he goes, you know, this and this and this. And you come around here and, you know, the picket fence like in the movie. So he says,
right.
So he leaves his coach from Arkansas, comes on with the real, you know, the deep draw. Oh, boys, let me tell you. Really comes down to who the hell are the X's and who the hell are the O's.
Profound statement.
Very profound statement. You know, so, you know, I'm saying last year the defense, they had, what's his name? Well, Khalid Mack wasn't here. Who's the big stud up front was on IR, Curry. The other linebacker who was having a fantastic year, the number one pick from a few years ago, he was on IR. Who's the guy in the middle? What's his name? Begins with a V or whatever. Danny something, a really good in. Trevathan. He was on IR.
Yeah, but maybe that had to do with some of the coach. I mean, there's so many people to be hurt, right? I mean, that's got to say something about the coaching techniques, too, because you get hurt because you're either not resting enough or you're practicing too much in particular ways. I mean, obviously, that's not always the case. There are freak accidents and stuff. But it does make a difference in your coaching and how you treat your players on how healthy they are.
Well, I think what happens is if you start...
And I think the opposite may be true, too, that Fox, you know, really didn't... You know, put him, especially preseason, you know, he rested this.
Yeah.
And when they came out, they didn't look like they were ready. And, you know, we're going to play, you know, the starters, the regulars, you know, one half of the third game, and that's it. We're going to look at everybody else. And this guy took heat from playing the starters here and there, a quarter here, a quarter there, 5 snaps here. And, you know, we're not going to just, you know, go in unready. And it shows with less injuries. And I'm not saying you have to, because it is such a tough game and the athletes are bigger and faster or whatever, that you have to, you know, burn them out in preseason. No, but this guy found a good balance.
Well, you end up, a lot of it's luck. So if you have a good offensive line and all of a sudden one guy gets rolled up on, maybe by his own player, and he's out. And you can replace one guy. If it happens to another guy or another guy, all of a sudden you've got now 3 guys on the line that are banged up, a la Pittsburgh. All of a sudden, what's his name? What's the big quarterback's name?
Trubisky?
No, Pittsburgh.
Oh, Roethlisberger.
Yeah, but all of a sudden he gets hit 10 times a game instead of 2. So now he's banged up. You know, the halfback, instead of having people blocking for him, he gets his ass kicked. It starts to snowball.
It does.
I mean, and a lot of it has nothing to do with, quote, the coach, because I think the coach of Pittsburgh has always been a spectacular coach, I thought. You know, so, and then some teams, like the Eagles, that happens to them earlier, and all of a sudden now they start getting guys back to where if you play the Eagles this Sunday, I mean, it's a totally different team than if you played them 8 weeks ago. For 10 weeks, I mean,
sure.
that's just part of the. But the sort of Bears have been very good. They've been somewhat fortunate, which is fine. I mean, you have to be. I mean, the Bears' offensive line in the '80s, when Tom Thayer and those guys played, didn't the same group of 5 guys start what, like 4 years in a row without somebody being hurt?
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's part of conditioning too.
Well, you know? But it's luck.
Yeah, of course.
And most of your injuries are, especially in the line, are somebody falling on you from behind.
Yeah, but when you're in shape and when you're, you know, really at the top of, you know, your physical thing, you can recover a lot faster and you get hurt a lot less easily. Let's put it that way. Yeah, there are freak situations, and you're exactly right. The snowballing stuff happens for sure. But when you're really in good shape and your whole team is in good shape, you can weather through a lot of that stuff a lot differently.
Well, sure. I mean, when things are going good, they're going good. And if everybody... But what I'm saying is that some of your injuries are so freakish in football that...
Of course.
By the way, they're a very likable team. He's a very likable coach. He likes to try new stuff, and he's not ashamed if it doesn't work, which is kind of neat. You know, there's nothing not to like. I don't think.
He throws in the wrinkle. He does this. He does that. But again, you know, you bring up the Eagles. Where did their coach come from? Andy Reid's tree line.
He's like the
Where
new...
Where did this guy come from? Andy Reid's tree line. I mean, I'm not saying it's the only way you can be a good coach, but he has a very... And he himself, the Chiefs were terrible. And he came in and put in new wrinkles, and now they've been good for several seasons.
Well, I mean, who was it before? It was the Tony Dungy tree line, which was the guys who were the cover two and the new... Those are the guys that right. were the defensive... innovators with cover two and with other stuff. And cover two pretty much was the next big defense after the 46, right?
Right.
Because the 46 couldn't cover the slot back, pretty much. Well, now you've got, but then you had, was the guy, New York Giants, that won the championship. He was his tree line forever, but Parcells. The only tree line that's not nowheresville is the guy from Boston. Everybody, I mean, starting with Charlie Weiss at Notre Dame.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, his people are just okay. Once they get out of the, you know, the Boston system, but you know what those guys are, you know, I mentioned this, you know, years ago. You know what those guys are really spectacular at is the lower end of the draft. Somebody, only people, they must not have a job, David, because we're going to talk about the market here in a second, is the,
I hope there's no correlation.
No, but I'm saying is that, you know, there's only seven rounds now. But this guy went through and he evaluated. There's like a rating system for, you know, all these players. You know, 10 you're an all pro and something. Well, in the fifth round, they would trade a fifth round pick for 2 6th rounders or something. In this one particular year, in the fifth round pick that Steph's team used to pick, you know, David Andelman, all of a sudden you're out of football, and yet the 2 6th round picks that Boston has, one guy is he's in the rotation at defensive tackle, and the other guy's at least a special teams contributor. You know, they're on a team someplace. Then the next year they'll trade a 5 and a 6th pick for somebody's number 4 pick. Pick one guy, and all of a sudden the guy's a starter his second year. Where the 5th and 6th on team B are both out of football. So they manage to the bottom end of the draft and get players that at least are serviceable, be it on the practice squad or somebody you can fill in. They're absolutely masters at having people be injured in the last 3-4 weeks of the year and plug somebody in, and you never know there was a difference. They obviously know the system. They've been there a while. They're very knowledgeable. And even if they're not as good, you almost don't even notice that they've made a change. And that's what they're exceptionally good at, is managing, I'm going to say, the bottom part of the roster.
Oh, yeah.
And you know who else was spectacular at that? I mean, I'm showing my age here. Was Dallas, when Tom Landry and those guys were there. They were the only team in football at the time that would hold a huge tryout for the people that weren't drafted. And they averaged, I think, David, a player a year that made the roster and a player every 4 years that became a starter. Because they never had a good draft pick because they were good every year. And that was their way of bulking up the bottom end of the roster because they never really got a top 10 pick.
So let's equate this back to business, though.
I mean,
I think it's the same thing. You know, you get certain CEOs who have a large bench in terms of, you know, their management is developing talent throughout the ranks, and those are the companies that remain innovative and valuable long-term. And then you've got the CEOs who don't do those kinds of things. I think... You know, you can apply a lot of the sports analogies or the things that are successful in sports to business.
Well, that's why, I mean, I've never really owned a stock. I have for some of my clients, but I've always loved Procter & Gamble because I really thought that those guys have an ability internally. And McDonald's, doesn't really have it.
They don't.
They've tried, They've tried to own other restaurant chains, and somehow or another, they don't want the other chain to do as well as McDonald's, so they don't put somebody good there. But Procter & Gamble seems to have, the guy who runs the Tide Group is has just enough of his own fiefdom to where he can be his own man, and they're not jealous of him doing well. Yet somebody somewhere else gets to run his area where they're sort of competing, sort of not, where you're sort of competing, but you're also pulling for the big team. And Procter & Gamble, I think, has always been a master of that, to where they have all these product managers that come up through the same thing. They all are good at what they are, and I think the company's been well run. Really, they were when I was in grad school. They were case study place. Were you, David? Were they for you as well? And how they were able to get. And I think
I actually, when I came out of Indiana, I actually one of my two big job offers was from Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati.
But did you have to interview here? You were close enough to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
My buddy,
I was 100 miles away.
My buddy from Notre Dame, he interviewed here, and I had to go down and pick him up on North Avenue. They had a plant where the Home Depot is. Talk about the hookers out in front of that place. Procter & Gamble plant.
Now, this is a family-friendly show.
Yeah, well, they're gone now. Well, they were there for the Home Depot for a while.
They used to be.
They used to be. So, David, what do you make of this? I mean, we're going to try and... I mean, I'd be surprised if we rally all the way back like we did yesterday and like we did, was it last week on Thursday? One of the days we were way down,
yeah,
and came right
700
back.
Down, close 300 up in the Dow.
Yeah, I mean, but are the buy the dippers getting exhausted here, or are they showing that we're not going much lower? I mean, what does your stuff say?
I've been impressed the last 5 days. I really think that, you know, the market's trying, and I think it's, you know, you have to realize how far down it's come, that it's priced in a lot of bad news, and I own, with full disclosure for folks, I own a little Apple, and, you know, most of it's hedged and that kind of thing. Doesn't mean when you're down $11 that the hedges will protect you enough, but I think you just watch Apple and you watch the NASDAQ. I mean, I don't see how this news is really, really new other than the announcement. I mean, we've heard from Micron. We've heard from, you know, Taiwan Semiconductor. We've heard from Foxconn. We've heard from Lumentum with the displays, with the parts, with this, that there's slowdown. We've known about, you know, the Chinese consumer, Chinese manufacturing. There was contraction for the first time in something like 14 quarters or whatever. Well, the new news that was announced that the market, you know, didn't have news on is that the service area and the watches and whatever is growing 30-40%. And again, I am not capital NOT making a case for buying Apple. And again, full disclosure, I do have a little bit on for customers, very small position. But this is not news. The news that was presented was positive. It really was. So with that in store, now is it a general slowdown for others? Is that not fully discounted? I don't know the answer to that, but I do think the market will tell you if you watch Apple and you watch QQQs and some of the futures, the NASDAQ futures, and maybe even the Russell and the Spider and the S&P 500 futures, the market will tell you. If the market can rally on this, then I think the price action in the last literally 4 months has discounted a lot of this. And if not, if we give away and take away this net five-day rally, then the market isn't fully discounted. The market will tell you, and it'll likely tell you today and tomorrow.
Well, we continue to have, in a minute, they're already doing it, the talking heads, again, Comedy Central, as far as he says, are all talking about, you know, we have soybean people, as we mentioned earlier, David, that there wasn't one order of soybeans in the month of November out of China. Well, right. we had a senator on talking about how his people are, he goes, I'm getting crushed. He goes, I just happen to have a farm big enough to where I still have stuff from 2016, and we're, you know, and we're going to make it because we've got, you know, some capital. But he goes, I have friends of mine are declaring bankruptcy and are selling their place. Now, I mean, you're not going to save those people. Yet I think the Trump's China call, where one of these days we're going to say everything's okay. I, you know, it almost reminds me, and then yesterday I was listening to him, which I shouldn't do, talking about how much better we're doing than China. And then I see what happened to Apple and some of these other places and these farmers. I almost feel like it's a hunt for Red October where the one guy says to the captain who shot the torpedo, "You are going to ask, you've killed us." Remember when they were doing when the torpedo was aiming right for them?
Right.
He goes, "You arrogant ass, you've killed us." I mean, this whole idea of relative economic stuff. I mean, do you think the soybean farmer or Apple is happy that we're doing relatively better than China?
Well, that's the other thing. You can't reverse a trend over at least one decade and probably the better part of two or three towards globalization where, hey, Japan coughs, and we better go get a handkerchief. Or China, of course, or Europe, or Canada, or Mexico, or whatever. When it's all been built to tie together with globalization, which that's the way it was for decades, you can't come in 2 years and say, well, you know, we're doing great, and we don't care if everyone else does terrible, because we'll do even greater. Can't do that.
Well, we are doing
it. Well,
we're trying to.
Right.
Yeah.
That kind of procedure where, you know, we can stop intellectual property theft and everything else that goes along with it. I wouldn't call them side issues. They're certainly something to focus on. If it takes 25 years to build that up to where, you know, the Chinese and perhaps even others, the Russians, whatever, can steal intellectual property and use it for their own or whatever, and you want to unwind that, it's not going to take, you know, 3 months of discussion or 5 months or 6 months. And that's why I think the market is, you know, suffering, because it says, hey, look, even if there's some kind of resolution, even if they start buying soybeans on a regular basis, even if they, whatever, buy more cotton or you know, chips or this or that or the other, it's going to take a long time to really get to the heart of the, you know, items that we want resolved.
Well, I think everybody who listens knows that I am no fan of the Chinese in the sense that they want to take other people's stuff. But I think somewhere along the line, and again, Steph, we know a lady, Kath, who's she likes being. I mean, she's one of these libertarian types that we're sort of all at fault ourselves as well. Right. And I'm not, but you know what, David? Look around this country. Every I'm going to say not every, because you know more about this business than I do. The stuff that is inventions in the healthcare industry, inventions in the software industry. How many people who invent the crap actually profit by it on an overriding basis? I mean, does anybody think that Kodak invented the brown camera? No, they didn't. Brown Camera Company did. They stole it from them. Does anybody think Alexander Graham Bell invented a telephone? No, he didn't. They stole it from somebody. I mean, the intellectual property thieving in this country has been a national sport for 200 years.
That's why they have IP attorneys. That's the way my son started out.
Yeah. So I mean,
their biggest cases were Europe with telecommunications. Had nothing to do with China, and it was the company that he worked for, and their specialty was intellectual property and the challenges thereof. It was, you know, Swiss companies and, you know, Nokia and
it's
whatever.
The two of you,
biggest settlements they ever got was against Europe.
If the two of you came over to my place on Sunday and I cooked dinner for you guys, we didn't bring Jay-Z, and a Martian showed up, and he gave us a something from either the biotech area or software or whatever it is, a cure for the common cold, which everybody seems to have. I mean, I guarantee you, and he says, this was produced on the fourth moon of Alpha Centauri, and nobody here has anything like it. If we tried to market it tomorrow, I bet we get 48 swinging idiots all coming at us with patents saying they had it before us. And we would never get to market with the damn thing.
I just want to go to this dinner.
Steph just wants breakfast. By the way, what are you serving?
Let's wait till summer and get a nice barbecue.
There we go.
But I mean, I'm saying, this whole idea, this is a worldwide sport, stealing people's stuff. I mean, I'm not.
No, you're right. But certain cultures have certain persuasions towards more acceptance of stealing than others, and that's, I think, you know, kind of where the it's pervasive versus versus a sport.
We had people in here from China giving them lectures on agricultural stuff. This was like 2 years ago. It might have been before you got here, Dave. It might have been like 4 years ago. Because I did a barge trip.
I was there.
Remember the one guy where Chris went to the bathroom and the guy stuck the thumb drive in his computer and downloaded everything on his computer? Chris comes back and he goes, we don't do that kind of stuff in America. And he goes, why? He goes, because you don't do that here. Go, well, we do that there. I go, well, it doesn't fly here. Get your thing out of my computer. What the hell?
Unbelievable.
Well, the guys at the ethanol plant, they had all their cameras. The guy wouldn't let them take pictures, and they were all pissed off. What do you mean? That's what we're here to do.
I remember, you know, long, long, long ago, 30 years ago, more, maybe even more, at the Merck. You know, oh, geez, you know, we're going to have relations with, you know, Shanghai, where the Shanghai Composites traded, and Hong Kong, and, you know, now Hong Kong's under the Chinese wing, you know, after being with Britain. And they were there with their cameras and there for their exchanges and developing and whatever. And Hong Kong had their Hang Seng market, but it isn't like it is now.
No, I remember that.
And it was encouraged.
Yeah, you just take pictures of whatever they've got. Just take it. I mean, it's
take it so we can trade with you.
Right? Why not?
Have it.
I mean, but there's also a half life to some of this stuff. I mean, you don't want somebody when you market the hula hoop. I'll show my talk about dating myself. It's, you know, you want that. That's the whole point of business, is you bring something to market before the next guy. Okay, and by the time and you price it in such a way where if it's close to cost. You put people off. If you price it 10 times what it ought to be, where you have 15 people, you know, piling in right after you, and you better make in the 6 months or a year it takes them to catch up a lot of money because you're pricing it so somebody's coming right behind you. But that's also the natural course of business. And now, of course, people want patents for 18 years and whatever. Anyway, S&P futures still down 22. We've got the Dow down 237. We've come back quite a bit. We're down a lot more. David, thank you. Steph, thank you. Good job, Jay-Z. Okay. Back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.